Welcome to Family Dynamics and Impact of Wealth. In a world where talking about the impact of money is difficult, we share stories and tips for reducing the negative impact that significant wealth can have on our emotions, relationships, and behaviors. Now here's your host, Ginny Galisano.
Hello, everyone. Today we have with us my very dear friend, Jim Calloway. Jim is a philanthropist and a self-made businessman who lives in Carbondale, Colorado. Jim served as the chair of the Aspen Institute Society of Fellows before he became a trustee in 1997. And in 2000, he was chair of the Institute's Lifetime Trustees. He was in the oil and gas exploration business for over 40 years. He retired as chairman of Edge Petroleum in the 1980s. And Jim had two presidential appointments during the Carter administration to the National Petroleum Council and as a commissioner of presidential scholars. Jim has also been a champion of up-and-coming young entrepreneurs, such as Lucas Turner and his new podcasting company, Level Ahead Audio, which is in fact the company that produces my podcast. I know, Jim, that you were pleased when you discovered that Lucas was a graduate of the Isaacson School for New Media, which you essentially helped found. You're asking Walter Isaacson if he'd be willing to have the school named after him was a tremendous gift and opportunity for the students. So, Jim, wow, what a lifetime of achievements. When I look around your office and I see all of these awards on your wall, how do you feel? How do you feel when you see the recognition for all that you have accomplished?
Well, I'm happy to see them. I have devoted my last 20 or 30 years of my life to philanthropy. And I think that I've helped the community I live in. People tell me that all the time. If I have just a little bit of time, I'll say to them, well, thank you. But if I have any time to talk with them, I'll say, I'm glad I've helped the community, but I've also helped myself by making myself happy.
You know, I remember many years ago, you told me that up until the age of 40, what you did was make a lot of money and spend it all on yourself, but it wasn't really making you happy. And it was at that point you decided to change your life from being a successful entrepreneur. Tell us about that.
That's right. I came from a very poor farming family and worked my way through the University of Texas and got a doctorate degree in law. But I decided I didn't want to be a lawyer. My nature was to be an entrepreneur. So I, in the age of 24, I started my company and went in the oil and gas exploration business in South Texas. And by the time I was 40, I was in between the two marriages, two wonderful women I've been married to. And I had made a good bit of money. And I was living in a mansion. I think this is 50 some odd years ago. I paid $5 million for the place. I remember that. And I had a staff there, two women who took care of the house and so forth. And I was single. And I had bought a brand new Learjet airplane. And during that time, I thought about, looked at myself, and I said, I'm not as happy as I thought I was going to be by making money and spending it on myself. And that was about the time that I became a Unitarian, which is a liberal church or fellowship that I'm still very active in and enjoy very much. And a Unitarian minister I got acquainted with named Bob Shively. He's still alive, I believe, lives in retirement in Portland. And he said, well, Jim, maybe the reason you're not as happy as you thought you were going to be is because you're spending all the money you make on yourself. And you might try continuing to be an entrepreneur because that's what you love to do. And You've had been successful, and you should continue doing that because that's good for you and good for the community to be a successful entrepreneur. But maybe you want to think about, instead of spending all the money on yourself, which you can damn sure do, you buy another house, an apartment in New York, no telling what, maybe you ought to think about giving away part of this to the common good. And so I started that. And the more that I did that, the better I liked it. It made me happy.
Yeah.
And so I've continued. I'm 87 years old now. I've continued to be an entrepreneur. I still am a very active entrepreneur on an international basis right now. And have had four big successes in my business career and with my sons. And now I have become eccentric in that I don't hardly spend anything on myself. And the reason I don't is because I don't want anything. I don't want bigger cars. Or I've sold the jet airplane immediately, got my money back, sold that mansion. One of my sons told me it sold last year for $17 million. And so I live in a nice house with a lovely wife, my dog, my cat. I've got more clothes than I'll ever wear for the rest of my life. I may need some more underwear from Walmart or something like that. But all I want for myself is I go out to lunch every day with friends. And I like to go out to lunch with them and talk. And I like to have a glass of cheap but good wine at after 5 o'clock. And what I really like doing is making money and giving it to the common good. And that's what I've become eccentric at, and that's what I do now. And I help specific organizations that I care about. I've been so lucky to look at my last 20, 30 years and see that the nonprofits that I have helped have become so successful and mean so much to the community. Would you like me to tell you what they are?
Yes, and actually, you know, let me just tell you that some of the work I do with my clients is helping them be more strategic in their philanthropy.
Yes.
And I think the hardest problem they have is choosing to support. So how have you chosen to support?
Well, that's what I was trying to get at. That's a good question. I, through the Associated Press or something other, I get requests from all over the country for contributions on a pretty regular basis. I have been so lucky. There are seven nonprofits that I support in this lower valley. A few years ago, I met for a few minutes and a cup of coffee with Bill Gates from Microsoft at the Aspen Institute. Somebody told him some little thing about me, and Bill Gates said to me, "Mr. Calloway, I understand you're the Bill Gates of the Aspen Valley." I said, "Well, no, thank you, not exactly." But I am really happy with the institutions that I've supported. It's CARE, the Colorado Animal Rescue. It's a great animal shelter that I built. It's become one of the best shelters in the United States. Wonderful 16,000 animals we've handled and taken good care of and adopted out. The Colorado Mountain College, which is our community college here, that I'm very devoted to, and a lot of kids on scholarship up there at the college and help build the academic center for them. I love the college. The Valley View Hospital in Glenwood, my friend Bob Young of Alpine Bank and I were the two principal sponsors to build the Calloway Young Cancer Center. And it is a classy place that's done a great job for this community. I hear nothing but wonderful things about it all the time, and thank goodness for that. I recently, very recently, helped Habitat for Humanity build their new restore here between here and Glenwood Springs. It's a beautiful place. If you haven't visited it, I really want you to. It's that big metal building down there, and you go around the other side, and they name the street you go on at Calloway Court. And it's a big, beautiful place. You walk in, see all this furniture and clothes and things that are for sale at real good prices. Just a lot of fun. Then the Third Street Center here in Carbondale. I've been the principal backer of it and love it very much. Our library here, I help the library so it can stay up, help them build the library, and I help them now to so they can stay open more hours to serve the community. Then our Thunder River Theater here in town, which very successful a theater. Been visited there by President Carter, who I interviewed there, and lots of other famous people. And then I support the KIPP Charter, the KIPP Special Schools, and I support the American Civil Liberties Union, and I support the Aspen Institute, which has been a big part of my adult education, and I support the President Carter's Library. Those are the things that I support.
And so is there a common thread between all of them?
I don't think so. I don't think there's a common thread. I mean, animals and education and hospitals. I don't think it's a common thread, but except in this, that I do feel like that they really do serve the community, enrich the community.
You're listening to Family Dynamics and Impact of Wealth. If you're enjoying this podcast, please consider helping us out by telling a friend and leaving a review on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher. For more information, visit our website, dynamicsoffamilywealth.com. And now back to the show.
The other question that clients often ask me has to do with what type of philanthropist they should be. Some wonder if they should not be more anonymous or out there, because like you said, the more out there you are, the more people approach you all the time. What do you prefer?
Oh, I much prefer being out there. And that's not necessarily for selfish reasons. I mean, I have buildings named after me and this, that, and the other, but what I want to do is to be out there, and I am out there, because I have seen over the decades that I've been doing this, I have seen that I have influenced a lot of other people to give money. I had lunch with a friend yesterday, and he's one of them. He's telling me how much he and his wife are giving away this year. And so I think that I've influenced this community, that the people have money, give it away and serve the common good.
Absolutely. I mean, I think Bill Gates' comment about your being the Bill Gates of the Valley is pretty right on. It's pretty right on. So one of the other challenges that clients have also talked to me about is, what about when you give all the money away and none of it is left for the children? So how are your sons feeling about, and I have, quite honestly, I have another client whose children are not crazy about the fact that their entire inheritance is being donated away.
Well, I can say that I have twin sons, identical twin sons. They're 60 years old. Very, very intelligent, successful men, and good quality. About 15 years ago, one night in Houston, with a glass of wine with the three of them, I told them, boys, I was making clear, you're not inheriting from me. I'm not going to leave the money that I've worked so hard for to someone who's already a millionaire, you two guys. You've been successful in business with me. You've made a lot of money. And so you're not inheriting from me. But I won't give my money to the common good where it's needed. But I will do this. I said, I have six grandchildren. I will pay half the cost of their college education for their bachelor's degree. I'm glad I said that, because several of them got two or three more degrees, and that's their father's problem. But I paid half the cost of their bachelor's degrees because I love them and I want to show the family that I want to care for them. And so how has that been accepted? To tell you the truth, Jenny, one of the boys has accepted okay. The other boy has not accepted it okay. But I think he's getting more and more used to it as he gets older. He is a retired, very successful businessman. I was one of his partners after we sold our oil company, in the company he started to build wind farms, and built one of the biggest wind farms in the world, big wind farm company in the world. And he made a lot of money there. And his outside business interest is art. And he, for example, for some reason, collects expensive guitars. And he has over 100 guitars, way over $1 million he spent on these guitars.
Does he play the guitar?
Yes, he plays, but he's got a hobby. It's a hobby of collecting guitars. They're showing off in his place where he does art. And so, that's not my business. He does that. I don't understand why anybody would collect guitars. But I am not going to give the money I've worked hard for to somebody who collects guitars. I'm interested in helping the common good. And he's getting a little easier as he gets older. And for example, it pleases me very much. He and his wife send a monthly check every month to the care animal shelter that I built. And I really appreciate that. They send $500 a month, every month, for years. And I am disappointed because the night that I told them about what I was going to help with their children's education, I said, there's some conditions to my paying half their cost of their bachelor's degree. One is that they cannot accept any scholarships because scholarships should be left for families that need it. And our family does not need scholarships. We can pay for our own.
How did they feel about that?
Well, they went along with it. How they feel about it, I don't exactly know, but I was hoping, I have 6 grandchildren, as I said, I was hoping that a bunch of those kids would go to that great university in Austin, University of Texas, where I went to school, which is a damn good school, but reasonably priced. They didn't do that. They went to school up east. They've been to Harvard, Wesleyan, Columbia, Yale, and now Brown.
Oh my goodness! So they went to all—they went to all the Ivy League schools.
Let me just give you an example. Lily, who went to Columbia and got her bachelor's degree there, that bachelor's degree cost $280,000, $140,000 to me.
Was it worth it?
I think you go to the University of Texas to get a good education for $25,000 a year. Or one of the reasons I'm so in love with community colleges like ours here is that kids can go to school here and get a bachelor's degree. We offer 5 bachelor's degrees. It costs them about $5,000 a year. If they live at home, that's for their tuition. So I become very interested in colleges like that. I also do respect the expensive schools up east. I will say this in their defense, that they really do have big endowments. And if a kid is from a family that's poor, they don't cost what we did. They get a big discount. So it's all worked out okay, and that's what I've done. I'm just saying this, that children really like to inherit from their parents. But in my case, it hadn't worked out that way because I've been an entrepreneur. My sons have been entrepreneurs with me. And all the 4 home runs that I have been involved in, that is businesses helped start from scratch, that have grown into major companies or big companies, all 4 of those my 2 sons have been partners in.
I remember one time you told me that you were so proud of your sons because they gave you a true sense of freedom, and that in many ways, you have some friends who envy you because of the way you raised your children. Can you say something about that?
Well, Yes, and I know exactly what you're talking about. We've talked about in the past. I think I've done as good a job as I can do. But it's still, there's some strong feelings about it that they'd like to have free education, I mean, free money from their dad. And they already have a bunch of money and they're not going to get it. And that's a good lesson for them.
You know, Jim, I always like to end these podcast interviews with a few words of wisdom or actionable items for our listeners. Is there anything that you would like to share with people about what they could do in terms of raising fabulous children as you have, you know, who are productive contributors to society, and then also what it means to be a philanthropist? Are there words of wisdom that you could share?
Well, I have seen children of rich families who go through life waiting for the money to inherit, and they never go to work hard.
So they have not learned the value of work.
They call themselves artists or musicians or something like that, but they're hobbies. And it is true that I've had great success with my sons in that they work hard with grit, and that they don't take life easy waiting for an inheritance, and that's wonderful. I really like that. And I can't think of anything. I'm 87 years old in a couple of months. I'm approaching 90 years of age, and I am still a very active entrepreneur, and by the way, with my sons, in most things. And I like the fact that they also work hard. Now, I must say that they think that they have taught me everything I know. They think that I was a hick from a poor farming family that happened to have an affair or something with their mother in college and impregnated her, and they became my children. So they think they've taught me everything I know, and I find humor in that.
Right. I love it. Well, Jim, thank you. I know that in this valley, and quite honestly, way beyond the state of Colorado, you are unquestionably one of the most beloved philanthropists in our valley. Thank you for sharing the story of your journey and wisdom for living a more fulfilling life. And for all of our listeners, I look forward to being with you again during our next podcast.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Until then.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Family Dynamics and Impact of Wealth. Once again, if you've been enjoying this podcast, please consider leaving us a review wherever you listen to podcasts and tell a friend you think might be interested in hearing these stories. For more information on the podcast or guidance for having more meaningful conversations around inherited or sudden wealth, please visit our website at dynamicsoffamilywealth.com.